Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in here on a Football Friday on WQIM. Hollywood, Omar Kelly, Dan Day along here with you. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by a friend of the show here, Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. Perk, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, Football Friday, baby. I'm trying to get myself in shape so I can report to camp in shape. We'll see how it ends up in a couple of weeks. But I'm trying.
Oh, it's tough out there, man. Perk. Hey, before we jump into the football stuff, I got to ask you, I don't know if you know this, but Omar is a Circuit City alum. I worked at Circuit City when I was in school. Do you have an odd job, Perk, that you worked, like a Circuit City type thing before you got into the whole sports deal?
I worked at Wendy's right out of high school. I got into journalism pretty quick, like right out of high school, but I did work at Wendy's, man. That was back in the day when they had the salad bar, they had baked potatoes, and they had like chicken a la king to put on the baked potato. Wendy's used to ball like that back in the day.
Hey, really, Perk, were you in the back or did they put you on the register?
Oh, I did both. You know, people want to talk to Perk. Now I was up front a little bit, but here's the deal. You know, when people would give me like $1.01 and expect a quarterback, I would be like, dang, why'd you give me $1.01? Why didn't you just give me $1? So the days on the register didn't last for long.
That's awesome.
Math skills are bad.
All right, we'll jump from there to football and Perk. You know, the one of the things we've really been talking about all week is, you know, Asante Samuel Sr. jumped in. Mike Florio has jumped in. There's been a lot of national dislike for what the Dolphins are doing in Miami Gardens right now. And they have been the punching bag of the national media. Omar said they're the low-hanging fruit and it's a slow time right now and all that. And what do you make of all this stuff, Perk? And it has been ugly from a national standpoint, the stuff that's been kind of raining down on the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it's been excessive, but, you know, it's a downtime for the Dolphins. You can expect that. They're coming off the 8-9 season. You had the Tua injuries. You've had a bunch of people talking stuff about the Dolphins, a bunch of former players, you know, Deshaun Elliott saying that they were soft and things like that. The Jalen Ramsey thing does not help when both sides agree to mutually seek a trade. When that, you know something is off right there. This is a year after Vic Fangio leaves and wins a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, while the Dolphins, you know, they kind of flounder. Although the defense did very well, you know, Anthony Weaver did a very good job, but. You know, they're a punching bag right now because they didn't do well. And it was, you know, things have been less than ideal around here. Look, the Dolphins can change that narrative by winning, right? But it's going to take a few months. They've got to take these punches until they can get out there and register some big victories and change the narrative.
Yeah, Perk, I wrote a column in today's Herald, basically stop all this doom and gloom. Like, this team, in my opinion, has a chance to produce a good season if they can keep Tua healthy, if that offensive line improves. And don't you start with me, Perk, on that offensive line.
All right.
Listen, and they can sustain a run game. What has to happen, in your opinion, for this team to get to 10 wins, double-digit wins?
Well, I've got them as a 9-win team right now. If Tua stays healthy – if they can get a run game going, and let's see what happens at the cornerback position. I think that's a big thing. Look, I think this front seven has the potential to be a game-changing type of unit, right, with Zach Sealer and Kenneth Grant and Chubb and Phillips and Chop, Jordan Brooks there as an inside linebacker, Terrell Dodson also there. But you look at those two cornerback positions. You got Cater in the slot. You got Minka at safety. But those two cornerback positions are vital. And I don't see a number one cornerback out there on the market. Rasul Douglas, Stephon Gilmore, all of these guys would have looked good as a number two opposite Jalen Ramsey. But as a number one, I don't see it. So I think the cornerback position is a vitally important thing if you're talking about getting to 10 wins. But I do see this as a 9-win team right now. The problem with that is I'm not sure 9 gets you in the playoffs. It did in 2022. But, you know, you could be looking at mediocrity again. That's the problem I see with 9 wins.
Then, well, what happens then, Perk? What happens if we are a 9-win team and you're not quite bad, but you're not quite really good? Do we run it back again? Because I got to tell you, I think this fan base is just ready to just move on here and try to do something different here, because this recipe hasn't seemed to work here. And if they get to 9... It's like, what do you do if you're Stephen Ross? Do you send out that letter again at the end of the season and, you know, say we're going to run it back?
And that's the thing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what happens at 9 wins. You know, I think if you're down at like 6 wins, you probably make major changes. If you win 10, 11, especially if you win a playoff game, there's no major changes. If you win 10 and make the playoffs, I don't know what happens. But that 9 wins is kind of a gray area. We haven't heard from Steve Ross directly. You know, he put out that statement at the end of last season. But, yeah, I think 9 wins just kind of puts you in that gray area. I have no idea what happens at 9 wins. I guess part of it is, how do you arrive at the 9 wins? Why did you have 9 wins? You know, if you get 9 wins with Tua missing, you know, 6-7 games, you know, maybe everything stays the same, but if Tua plays all 17 and you get to 9 wins, I think that's a different look at 9 wins. So it's a gray area, 9 wins.
But it's like, you know, Perk, like, but here's the thing, like, how many times can you keep doing the same thing over and over again? That's one part of it. And the other part is the owner's 85 years old. Like, you think he's going to want to go through another 5-year rebuild? So something's got to give on one side, right, on one end or the other.
Yeah, and I think that, again, it's if they finish with 9 wins, how did you get there and why? I think that, you know, it's kind of just saying 9 wins doesn't really define what happened in the season. If you say 11 wins, you probably had a pretty good season. If you say 6 wins, you probably had a pretty bad season. Well, you did have a bad season. But 9, I think you got to kind of wait and see, you know, what actually unfolded.
You talked about the cornerbacks, and yes, that is.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Probably the unclear position, because everybody else, I think that there's the roster's relatively clear. But at cornerback, outside of Cater and Minka and probably Ashton Davis and Ify Melifonwu, who would you put your money on to be the two starting cornerbacks on the outside?
I like Storm Duck. I like what he showed us last year as a undrafted rookie out of Louisville. He sticks his nose in there. He's cerebral, so he can give it to you from the thinking man's perspective and from the physical perspective. So I like Storm as somebody to emerge. He wouldn't be a number one corner, but he would be a starter. Boy, as far as anybody else, I'm really not sure. I haven't seen enough from Cam Smith, from Kendall Sheffield, from, I don't know, you know, you can just go down the rest of that list.
Ethan Bonner. Isaiah Johnson.
Yeah, Isaiah Johnson. Jason really Marshall like Isaiah Jr. Johnson. B.J. Adams, the rookie out of UCF, the undrafted rookie. I just don't see another starting cornerback on that roster. So, and look, we'll see what happens after the after training camp cuts and all of that too. Maybe somebody emerges, and you always look for guys who used to play for, you know, Anthony Weaver, or you look for the, you know, that's kind of why Darren Waller is here, right? Because he played for Frank Smith. So you look for that kind of stuff. Somebody could emerge. And look, and I'm not dug in on 9 wins. I'm just saying 9 wins right now before training camp, the way things look. And
that's pretty good season, Perk.
What's that?
9 wins. That's a pretty good season to me, based on what I'm looking at. I mean, I understand it's not going to get you where.
Isn't it all?
No,
Omar's all over the place, Perk, and you know that. I mean, he's, you know, one day he talks about how great Tua is, and he throws all these, you know, ridiculous numbers that mean nothing at you.
Tua 63% winning percentage.
goes from Hollywood, they had numbers that mean nothing.
I mean, they don't. Do they mean anything? All the Omar,
a quarterback
can rattle
that wins 63% of his game is pretty good.
Omar can rattle off numbers that makes Tua sound like Tom Brady for the next hour. But
only
the reality is, look, the reality.
Passer
I don't care. The reality is that he hasn't won anything of any meaning.
It's okay, yeah. Neither is Lamar Jackson.
That I would disagree with, but you know.
Yeah, I know he's won a play. He's won a couple of playoff games. Listen.
Let's not compare Tua to Lamar Jackson this morning. Can we just not do that?
Let me about face that. Neither has Dak Prescott. You know,
there you go. That's a good comp to Tua. I can live with that.
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's, you know, here's what I always try to tell people. This is bigger than Tua, and I know that that's hard NFL fans to comprehend that something is bigger than the quarterback. But this is bigger than Tua. I mean, you've got injuries. To me, the big thing here, the biggest thing is the guys who got the extensions, and that's offensively Mike McDaniel, Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle. Those are the ones to me that this thing is on them. This is an offensive team. They're the engine of the offense. And look, I can give you a bunch of numbers also. You know my numbers on Tyreek the last 2 years. Dolphins, I know Omar is laughing already. The last 2 years, the Dolphins are 11-0 when Tyreek has 100 or more yards and they average 35 points per game. 7-16 when he has 99 or fewer and they average 18 points per game. Tyreek opens everything up for everybody. But the problem is, in the last 2 years, neither Tyreek nor Waddle has a 100-yard game against a playoff team. You can't win games with your run game. You're 8-11 the last 2 years when you rush for over 100 yards. They've got to develop this offense. You've got to find a way to win aside from Tua to Tyreek.
Help me out with this thing with Tyreek real quick if you can. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel here with us.
Him about Tyreek.
They got Tyreek. They have Perk. Help me with this, please. They have his over-under set at 975 and a half. Now, outside of breaking his leg in week one, how does he not get to 1,000 yards?
Tua injuries. That to me, that's pretty much the only way. And I've heard you say that, Hollywood.
Still get it, though, even if Zach Wilson or whoever else is playing?
He didn't last year. He didn't last year.
I know, but that was a weird situation last year, though.
It was. He did in 2022. He got 17-10 with Tua injuries. I'm shocked by that number. If Tyreek has 975, I don't see a winning season. I just don't see how they can score.
No way.
I don't see 975. I'm shocked that that number is so low. They would have to really develop a game-winning, game-changing run game to survive if Tyreek only has 975.
Let me ask you this question, Perk, because I say this all the time, and there's a video out of Tyreek just, you know, running tremendously fast routes. He's a 10.19 or 15 runner in 100. Tyreek is probably the greatest athlete, greatest playmaker I've ever covered in my life. Who would you put number one in your career?
Ooh, boy. That's a long list from Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Shaq.
Yeah, I'm talking football.
Oh, football. Boy, Tyreek might be. Defensively, you do have Jason Taylor, but often Tyreek is a baller. Like, he's a future Hall of Famer. I'm Team Tyreek on the field. Like, he's the guy who makes this offense go. I really am. I mean, and this is a guy who busts his butt in practice, in games. And you're right. I think we're going to get a good version of Tyreek this year. He ran, what, a 10-1-5 and a 10-1? I mean, I think this dude is ready to come out and show the world that, you know, I'm 31, but I can still ball. The 975, I don't understand. Yeah, Tyreek might be – I think he is number one just off the top of my head. As far as a playmaker, I haven't covered anybody better with the Dolphins. That dude is a unique, unique talent.
Absolutely. I appreciate you going Heat, by the way, Perk, because you've covered the team since, 2010 or something like that?
Well, I did. I started in Heat 2002. I did them 2002 to 2012.
Okay, so you've covered there hasn't been anyone outside of Tyreek for the Dolphins, in fairness. So I do appreciate you going with Heat players for that answer.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Who else are you going to go with?
Yeah, they won titles. They're Hall of Famers. When you talk about D. Wade and LeBron and Shaq, I mean, those dudes are ballers. So yeah, those are the guys who could really make plays, put things on their shoulders. It's different for Tyreek because he's a wide receiver, but I have a lot of faith in Tyreek. He's not perfect on the field. I know that he had the drops in 2023. He had the ball taken from him by Derek Stingley Jr. against Houston late in that game last year, but I put my money on Tyreek. I got a lot of faith in that dude, man.
Hey, Perk, how proud are you that Tyreek has stayed out of trouble this offseason so far? We got 2 weeks to go, though.
Yeah, we got time.
Exactly. Hey, it's a great thing for the Dolphins. It's a great and it's a really great thing for Tyreek. I mean, look, it seems like he's focused on football, and that's going to be a great thing for this team because they need to have a great bounce back season. And to me, you know, Tua's health is the number one thing, but 1A is Tyreek being out there and being able to ball and open things up for everybody else. This offense revolves around Tyreek, and if he's playing at his best, this is going to be a tough offense to match up against. I will say this, though, again, you have to get a running game or some other way to win games offensively because, you know, Tyreek not having a 100-yard game against a playoff team in the last 2 years, that's one of the main reasons they're 2-10 against playoff teams in the last 2 years.
Hey, let me ask you this question, Perk. Do you think that this could potentially be a team that actually fights for Mike McDaniel and his coaching staff? Or do you think that, I go back to the Joe Philbin year of 2015, where we went into that season and that team just couldn't care less about Joe. And they played like they couldn't care less about Joe. And he eventually was fired in 5 games. Do you think that this culture change was all about Mike saving himself and saving the team?
It's a lot of it is about Mike saving himself to me. A lot of it is Mike making a change. If they get off to a slow start, the players could turn on Mike. And not directly turn on Mike, but just kind of look at the way things are going and say, you know, we went through this stuff last year and finished 8-9, and you know, I don't see anything changing. I could see the players getting down. I don't know that the season is a referendum on Mike McDaniel directly, but I think that Mike McDaniel and this culture change and how he handles things is going to be a big factor in the outcome of the season. They've got talent on this team. They just have to find a way to get the most out of that talent. I think this team has left way too much meat on the bone the last 3 years. They're in performance, and I'm talking about playoffs and December and January football, road games, it hasn't matched the raw talent that they have on that roster. Mike McDaniel has got to find a way to wring the most out of this roster, get every ounce of talent that he can out of this roster. To me, that's one of the big things that puzzles me about this team is how do you leave so much meat on the bone?
Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel here with us. Perk, I got one more for you. Omar was comparing Darren Waller to Jonnu Smith yesterday because I know, that's just the kind of stuff
that
he likes to do. What is more likely, Perk? He plays and, you know, gets 500 yards, or he never makes it to week one?
I would say he plays and gets 500 yards. To me, the big thing here is that he's going to be 33 years old and September, maybe, is that right? October, whatever it is, and he did sit out last year. And look, and I know that a lot of people will say, Jonnu wasn't a big loss. Mike McDaniel made Jonnu okay, but you know that it. You could say that, but it remains by far the best season they've had out of a tight end. Right? They didn't get that out of Gesicki. They didn't get that out of Durham Smythe. So you've got to give Jonnu some kind of credit, but I think that Jonnu did a whole lot for this offense. Can Waller do the same? It's very wait and see, considering his age and considering that he did sit out last season. So,
head-to-head, though, Perk, who's had a better career? Head-to-head, who's had a better career? Barring his suspensions.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Waller. They're comparable.
Yeah, but it's 5 years ago, though. Perkins, we're talking about five years ago.
Correct. His Pro Bowl season was what, in 2020? Or in 2020 with Vegas, I believe it was.
Still got a $50 million contract.
That's a lifetime ago, man.
Still got a $50 million contract a couple years ago, whereas Jonnu Smith is not getting a $50 million. He did get a $50 million contract. My bad. Let me correct myself. Jonnu did get a $50 million contract from the New England Patriots.
Yeah, relying on 33-year-olds, we've seen that in the past with OBJ and Teron and Shaq Barrett.
Don't ignore Calais Campbell just because he was 38.
No, Calais Ball, but Jordan Poyer didn't. When you get to that age, once you get over 30, it's a very tough thing, and that's one reason I want to see how they handle Zach Sealer to kind of change gears here. We could have a camp hold-in with Zach. Zach turns 30.
I hope we have a camp hold-in.
Here's what I'll ask you, about Zach Sealer. I can pay the 30-year-old Zach Sealer $16 million a year, no problem. Mm-hmm. What do you want to pay the 31 and 32-year-old Zach Sealer, though, when you're trying to win with youth and draftees? To me, the back end of the contract might be the bigger problem here.
If I'm Zach, I don't care about the back end of the contract. You get me at $28 million in guaranteed money. I don't care what I sign. I don't care what I sign. If Zach walks away with nearly $30 million from the Miami Dolphins, he's ultimately won. And to me, and everybody knows I'm a player advocate, if you don't sign Zach Sealer, I'm going to stone you to death as an organization. Because you want to talk about the culture. You want to talk about treating your players right. Now I know you've re-signed him twice. So you have given – you've taken care of him twice, but let's not pretend like he hasn't taken below market deal the last deal. Let's not pretend like he didn't. Yeah.
And Devon Achane is looking at this, wondering about his future.
Absolutely.
He's next in line.
But this is the business of the NFL. This is not going away. Yeah. And then it's going to be Minka too. But if you give Minka $30 million in guaranteed money before you give Zach Sealer money, you'll just continue to be doing the exact same thing that your players are complaining about.
Yeah.
Pay somebody else instead of taking care of your own.
Yeah. Jalen Phillips playing on his fifth-year option. I'm sure he's watching this also. Although
he's got to perform. He's got to perform. Yeah, he's got to stay
healthy. Right. He's in a different category. But yeah, just as far as retaining your own players and paying your guys, even though they didn't draft Zach Sealer, but they developed him. This is kind of a big test for the Dolphins. And look, I think right now Zach Sealer is your best and he's your most important defensive player. I don't know if you could say he's better than Minka, but he's your most important defensive player from the standpoint of that defensive line really, really needs Zach Sealer to play well.
Zach is your culture player. Zach is the player you want to talk about you want to talk about culture and changing the culture. Zach is the first guy in, last guy out. That's who you want to embody your culture about. So you got to take care of that player. Otherwise, you're just talking on deaf ears.
No, I agree. You've got to take care of Zach Sealer. And I know that, you'll be paying somebody who's in his 30s, but you have to do that in the NFL. There's a few players in their 30s you have to pay, but you just can't, you can't do kind of some of the things they did in the past, relying on seven or eight, 30-somethings as key players. But guys like Tyreek and Zach Sealer, who are in their 30s, you've got to pay them because they're that important to your team.
Well, Perk, we're going to find out how it all looks pretty soon here when we open up camp. Look forward to seeing you out there in person. And thank you for the time. Thanks for hanging with us here this morning.
All right. Happy Friday to y'all.
Yes, sir. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. You can find his work there. Kind enough to join us here this morning. We are going to take a pause. Mike Florio, who has turned the Dolphins into a punching bag over the last few weeks, he is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Back on QAM after this.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.